Well, here we are today. There's no kids' church, by the way, so you guys get to stay here and enjoy today's service with us. The Corbys are out on a little family outing this week, and today I promise we won't be in here too long because pretty soon I'm thinking the smell of burgers and hot dogs are going to start wafting this way, and I'll lose you. So I got to strike while the iron's hot, all right? Praise the Lord. Well, here we are today. We want to celebrate our graduates. I know I've been talking over the past several weeks about a sermon series that's developing in my heart and that we're just about to begin here in a couple of weeks on God's prescription for anxiety. I'm still on that one. I haven't forgotten it. But we have a couple of Sundays in a row where I want to address some specific things. We want to talk about our graduates today and bless them. And then we also, next week, we want to talk about our fathers. And so we're going to set that series on the back burner for just a little while, and then we'll pick it up here. But today we're here to celebrate our graduates. And I don't know, if I was tasked to give today's message a title, you know, kind of a handle, something to remember it by, I was thinking about it, what would I call it? Well, the only thing I could come up with was pretty simple, and it's this: what now? What now? And that might be a question that our graduates are asking. Maybe not. But it might be the question that some of us are asking, regardless of whether we just graduated from some institution of learning or whether we just find ourselves at a crossroads in our life. We may be asking that question, what now? And so we're trusting that God will give us some guidance in our service today to answer that question and provide some direction for our lives. But before we do that, I do want to recognize specifically our graduates. I do see that we have a good number of them here today. We have four who have graduated from high school, and two that have graduated from college or university. And so we want to recognize them. I'm going to have them to come up here and receive a card. We have a card, and all of our leadership team members have signed this on behalf of the entire church. Even though there are a limited number of signatures on here, every member of this church and every part of this church family, I know that we would all just extend our congratulations to you as well. But we want to recognize these graduates, place a card in their hand, and just let them know that we love them. We thank God for them, and we're believing and praying God's best for them in the future. Our first one we want to recognize is Kevin Claros. He graduated from Heritage High School. Yeah. Yeah. These guys were gracious enough. Come on up here, dude. These guys were gracious enough to invite us to Kevin's celebration last week, and that was an awesome time. I just want to say congratulations, my friend. Look forward to seeing what God's going to do in your life, all right? Amen. Amen. So that's Kevin. All right. And then we have Abigail Kalafian. We recognized her last week. She's in Israel this week. But we want to thank God for the way that he's been faithful to Abigail as well. Then there's Ben. Ben Saunders. Is he the last one to graduate? Maybe we should give you the card. Ben, congratulations. Have you guys heard Ben speak lately? Let's talk right here.
What do I say?
That's not much exaggeration in that. Congratulations. God's been good and faithful. God bless you. Appreciate you, man. Graduated from E.C. Glass High School. All right. And then Dylan. Is Dylan here? Did he make it in yet? I don't see him yet, but we want to also thank God for his faithfulness to Dylan Williams. He graduated from Rustburg High School, so whenever we see him, we'll make sure that we put this card in his hand. Whenever you see him, make sure you congratulate him, all right? Dylan, we're thankful for that. And then we have two who graduated from university, and these are in alphabetical order, so first off, I'm pleased to thank God for my own son, Andrew. Graduated from Averett University. Come on up here, buddy. Yeah.
I love you, buddy.
There you go. Congratulations. Absolutely. And then last, but certainly not least, graduating from Liberty University, Jake Mitty. Come on up, buddy. Awesome. Congratulations. Amen. We love you, bud. Appreciate you. All right. So those are our graduates. Thank God for that. Amen. So here we are. Probably by this time, all of the graduation activities are done. Parties are over. Well, we got one more that we want to do this morning, but as far as the families are concerned, all of the preparation and all of the making sure that the robe is pressed just right and all of the family coming in and all of the hoopla and all of the sending out of invitations and all of those things that usually surround those kinds of events, those things are probably past by this time. There may be a few still ahead of us. But for the most part, all the graduation services are done. The diplomas have been handed out. You're now a part of an alumni association, graduating class of 2018. And so the question might arise, back to today's sermon title, what now? Because if you'll notice that ceremony that you went to, where your name was called and you walked across the stage and someone handed you a diploma and you wore that cool gown and that really cool hat that I know you'll wear every day. What took place in that setting, it's not called a conclusion ceremony, it's called a commencement ceremony. And that word simply means beginning. Let something commence. Let something start. Yes, we're celebrating in those moments. We're celebrating something that we have just completed. But more importantly, we're recognizing that a new phase, a new start, something different than what we've known is commencing and it's starting. And so the question might arise, what now? For those that have graduated from high school, maybe you're asking the question, well, do I go to college? Do I go to a university somewhere? Do I go to trade school? Do I go to community college to do my first 2 years and transfer? What am I going to major in? What's my career going to be? Do I get a job? What do I do? For those that have graduated from university, maybe your question is, what next? Am I just going to settle down somewhere and just work a job? Am I even going to be able to get a job in my particular field of study? What about graduate school? Should I consider graduate school? Do I need a master's degree? I just don't know. I'm growing up, and maybe I'm supposed to have some of all of these answers to life's questions, but I just don't know. I might be asking the question, what now? What now? I actually know, from having spoken to some of you know what your next step is. Some of you know a particular college or university that you might be going to. Some might know a graduate program that you want to enter into. Some might know exactly the kind of job or career path that you're going to follow. So maybe you figured out the next step, but what about the one after that? And the one after that. And what about the steps that will occur 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Oh, man, you're getting way ahead of me now, man. I haven't even hung up my gown yet, and you're already talking about 10 years from now. Listen, life is filled with opportunities where we are forced to ask that question, what next? And so I would say that even though my thoughts today are specifically geared towards our graduates, I would submit to you that every one of us will find ourselves in situations in life when one thing has come to a conclusion and we're just not sure what might come next. What now? I've graduated. What now? One job has finished. What now? A spouse has passed. What now? A situation you thought was safe and secure has come to an unexpected end, and so you find yourself, whether you've just graduated or whether you've graduated 20, 30 years ago. You may find yourself from time to time asking the question, what now? What now? And so what I'm hoping and what I'm praying and what I'm believing actually is that today's message will point us in a direction. It may not give us the exact next step, and it may not tell us two or three steps down the road, but what I'm hoping that we can accomplish today is point ourselves in a direction that when we are asking that question, what now, what next, that we'll have a solid place where we can begin to find out what next. But before we get into the passage today, I want to establish one fact. Because unless we establish this, unless we're all on this same page, unless we can come to this same conclusion, then what we might say from the scripture may not be applicable in your situation. Unless we can nail down this one fact, and that fact is this, that God has a purpose, a specific purpose. God has a plan. God has a will for every person ever born. No life is ever chaotic. No person is ever born with an existence that is purposeless. But from the moment of conception, the scripture says, even in my mother's womb, you knew me. And so from the moment that you were just a glimmer in your parents' eyes, God had already laid out a plan, a purpose, a will for your life. And so when I ask the question, what now, if I don't understand that God has a plan for my life, I will never truly come to the right conclusion on that question. But understanding clearly that God has a plan, God has a purpose, God has a desire, God has a will for every person ever born, and that includes you. Or he's preaching to someone else. No, I'm not. I'm preaching to you. Every single individual, God has already mapped out your life. He has purpose. He has purpose destined for you. And having established that in our mind, we have to recognize that when we're trying to answer that question, what next, the only place where we can go and really find a lasting answer that makes sense to that question is to the God who has purpose for my life. That's another thing I'd like for us to establish today. Not only does God have a will for your life, but he's not in the business of hiding it from you. You see, you can look through Scripture and you can see time after time, whenever God sees sincere seekers with confused hearts, he will do whatever it takes to help them and to cause them to see his will. You see, God's not in the business of hiding from sincere seekers. Moses, conflicted about his true heritage with the Hebrews and his upbringing among the Egyptians, it's causing him all kinds of conflict. He's at a point in his life where he's asking, what now? And to this sincere seeker, God causes a bush to burst forth in flame and bring direction to his life. When Jonah was uncertain, conflicted, he really knew what God wanted him to do, but he just needed a nudge to do it. He needed a push in the right direction. And so to this conflicted, uncertain, and at times unwilling prophet, God sent a great fish to put him back on track. To an entire nation the nation of Israel, when an entire nation is conflicted and they know where their covenant lies, but yet they're tempted to go astray and follow the way of those around them. And so to these confused and conflicted people of God, He sends prophet after prophet after prophet, and eventually He sends to them a talking donkey to get them back on track. You see, whenever God sees a heart that's sincerely seeking after Him, when God recognized the confusion and the uncertainty in your life, and in one hand you just don't know what's next, but on the other hand, you know that there's something God has for you. God's not in the business of hiding Himself. He's not in the business of saying, keep searching, you'll find me one day. No, God is always the one to take the initiative and to reveal Himself and reveal His will to those who will sincerely seek Him. And so if graduates or others, if we're asking the question today, what's next? Or maybe I know what's next, but I don't know what's after that. So for those of us that might be asking that question today, what's next? I would submit that God is still in the business of revealing Himself to a sincere heart who wants to know what next. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24, the Gospel of Luke. Whether it's a burning bush or a great fish or a talking donkey, or in today's passage, whenever we see confused disciples, instead of a bush or a fish or a donkey, this time God sends a risen Savior to disciples who are asking the question, what next? Here's the background. Luke chapter 24. Here's the background. Jesus had been crucified. All of His disciples were there to watch it happen. There was no doubt. He didn't just faint. He didn't just lose consciousness. He was truly dead. And this dead Jesus, they had placed all of their hopes and all of their dreams, all of their future in this man, and now He died on them. What on earth? What next? We thought He was going to usher in a glorious kingdom, but He's dead. Now what do we do? And they took this dead Jesus and they buried Him. And that, you know, I've heard people say when a loved one passes away, even though you know that they really have passed away, and even though you know they've really died, there's just something, there's some kind of finality. It's a sinking feeling when you watch that coffin lowered into the ground. It's not as if we expected them to sit up out of the casket. We knew that they had passed, but there's just some kind of dark finality that ascends on us, descends on us, whenever we see that loved one placed into the tomb. These disciples were dealing with these emotions. We thought that this was going to go a different way. This is not at all what we were expecting, because they're burying Him now. He didn't even come to life after He died on the cross. They're actually burying Him. And so they go into seclusion and they go into hiding and they're trying to regroup and revamp and try to figure out the answer to the question, what next? And on that Sunday morning, a group of ladies go to the tomb. They didn't go expecting, truthfully, they didn't go expecting to find a risen Savior, because they were taking embalming spices. They expected to make application to His decaying body. But when they got there, everything had changed. He wasn't in the tomb. Instead, He had risen. And now all of a sudden, they're having to process something that came at them out of the blue. If they would have been listening, they would have known that this was coming, but they were dull of hearing it, and they just saw what they saw, and they let their eyes do the speaking for them instead of their hearts. And now this resurrected Christ is taking them by surprise, a pleasant surprise, but surprise. And they couldn't contain their joy. And they take off running, running to the place where the disciples and others had gathered to mourn and try to figure out what next. And that's the background. So Luke chapter 24, verses 9 to 11. We're going to be skipping through several passages in this chapter. Luke 24, 9 through 11. And when they came back from the tomb, the ladies, that is, when they came back from the tomb, they told all of these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told them this. They told this to the apostles, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. What do you mean? He's risen. What do you mean he's alive? He can't be alive. We all watched him die. We all watched when they placed him in the tomb. You're speaking foolishness. Are you sure you went to the right tomb? Are you sure you're not just dreaming? Are you sure it's not just wishful thinking? I don't believe you. This sounds like nonsense to me. Verses 13 to 15. And now on that same day, two of these disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Wow. Here you are, you're walking along and you're saying, all right, now, what's done is done. We got to figure out what's next. Everything that we thought was going to go forward in a certain way has seemed to fall apart. What's next? And in the middle of that confusion, Jesus himself just comes walking up beside them. Hey, fellas. Now, if you read the context of that passage, you'll recognize they didn't know who he was. They didn't recognize him. They'd spent 3.5 years with him constantly, every day, hour after hour in ministry with this man, and they didn't even recognize him. Their confusion was larger than their faith. Skipping down to verse 25, he said to them, Jesus speaking, he said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And so beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. Verse 28 through 32. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going to go further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us. It's nearly evening and the day is almost gone. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he began to give it to them. And their eyes were open and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. And they ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us? And so I want to use this passage as a jumping off place to say to us that whenever we find ourselves in a place of confusion or uncertainty, that there are certain ways you can count on it. There are certain ways that God will speak to us and provide the clarity that we need and provide the answers that we need. Whenever we find ourselves asking the question, what next? When God sees that sincere heart seeking after his will for their life, he will never leave you in the dark. But if he needs to, he'll bring a Savior right beside you to walk with you and to clear up the confusion in your heart. I want us to look at these passages and recognize that there are certain ways that God speaks to us to answer the questions of our heart. number 1, from verses 9 through 11. This was the passage where the ladies had come back from the tomb, and they're telling these confused, uncertain disciples, "He's not there anymore. He's risen. He's not dead anymore. He's alive." Understand that one of the ways that God will speak to you in times of confusion and uncertainty is He will speak to you through others. He'll use other people to speak truth and clarity into your life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 reminds us that we are all members of the same body. Every member has its own function. Your function and your purpose and God's plan for your life is different than it is for mine, but we're all members of the same family. We're all members of the same body. Let's not exclude one another, but let's understand that one of the ways that God will bring clarity and direction and purpose to our life is by bringing other people into our life who can speak truth and say things to us that we might not have thought of on our own. Or sometimes if we feel a certain leading and a certain guidance in a particular direction, God can send people into your life to bring confirmation. Yeah, that's good. That's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah, that's good. Thanks for the confirmation. So God will use other people to speak truth into our life. You see, do you think it's no wonder that when people find themselves in uncertainty and confusion, one of the first things they want to do is stay out of church. That's the work of the enemy, because he knows if he can keep you from going around people who love you, if he can keep you from associating and fellowshipping with people who have the ability to speak truth into your life and help bring guidance to you, then he can deprive you of God's purpose for your life. And so when we find ourselves in confusion, the thing that we're tempted to do is the very last thing we ought to do, and that's stay away from people of like faith. Whenever you're uncertain, don't shy away from the church, and don't shy away from the people who are spiritual in your life. Don't shy away from them. Run to them and say, "I've been praying. Is there something you can encourage and share with me that might bring some guidance and direction back to my life?" Yeah. Don't shy away from other people, because God just might use them to bring direction. But at the same token, I would interject a caution. Don't let just anybody speak into your life. Hello. Because everybody that might want an opportunity to speak into your life may not have your best interest in mind. Why on earth would I want to seek direction for my life from someone whose life is directionless? Why am I going to let one confused person try to speak clarity into my life? And so if you want the ability to speak, and by the way, this is not exclusivism, it's just me protecting God's purpose and me protecting God's plan on my life. Not just anybody has the right. I'm not going to let just anybody sidle up beside me and whisper in my ear. Having established the fact, listen, having established the fact that God has a purpose for your life, why would we ever let someone who doesn't know Christ give us direction? Hello? I really would like to stay there and pound on that for a while, but I think you get it. If I'm truly seeking God's plan for my life, I'm not going to let someone who is away from Christ, someone who doesn't understand truth, I'm not going to let them have access to me. Amen. Amen. But God will use other people to speak truth into our life. And then if we read further in that passage, verses 13 to 15, and then again in verses 29 through 31, we will recognize that another way God speaks to us is not just through other people, but God also speaks to us through His presence, just by being with us and us being with Him. Notice what happened right in the midst of their confusion, even after someone had spoken truth into their life, even after these ladies had told them that Jesus was alive, even then they were still confused, and even then they were still uncertain. And so right in the midst of their confusion, Jesus Himself walks beside them. And there are some things that will only make sense in His presence. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, you've heard me preach on it here before, but one of my favorite passages of Scripture is Psalm 73. It begins with the psalmist declaring the goodness and greatness of God, but very quickly into that psalm, it descends into a chaotic uncertainty. He says, but I'm beginning to wonder if I've even kept my own hands pure in vain. Because I look around me and I see wicked people prospering, and I see righteous people suffering, and I'm confused because I thought He was good, but everything around me is telling me He's not, and I'm not sure what's going on anymore. What next? And then there's the turning point in that passage. The psalmist says this, until I entered the sanctuary of God, and then I understood. You see, there are some uncertainties, there's some lack of direction, there's some times in our life when even other people can't get through to us. And so we need the very tangible, real presence of God Himself. There's some things that can only be made clear when we spend time with God. Spend time with Him in prayer. Spend time with Him in worship. And you know, you don't even have to go through some kind of ritual. It's not, well, if I don't pray an hour, He's not going to. No, that's not it at all. And sometimes it's not even a matter of what we say. Sometimes it's just a matter of saying, God, here I am. And it might mean a little worship music in the background to center your thoughts. Or it might be just you and Him right by yourself at home or in your car or wherever it is. But just taking some time and say, Lord, I don't have to perform in Your presence. I don't have to measure up some way. I just want to be with You and for You to be with me. And somehow, because He loves us and because He cares for us and because He has a purpose for your life and because He doesn't want to hide that purpose from you, somehow just time in His presence can bring clarity to a confusing situation. So if you're asking the question, what next? Let me challenge you, don't neglect His presence. Spend time with the Savior. He's the one that knows His plan. Who better to ask? Spend time in His presence. Getting to know Him will reveal a great deal about His plan for your life. So God speaks to us through other people. God will also speak to us and bring direction to our life through His very presence. The third thing I want us to recognize is that God will speak to us through His Word. In verses 25 to 27, notice Jesus appealed to these confused disciples based upon the Word of God. Don't you remember how it was written? And then the Scripture says He went on to explain to them how all through the generations God had led and provided for His people. Didn't leave them without purpose and didn't leave them without direction, but instead had been faithful. And He uses the Word to remind and to bring direction to His people, to His confused disciples. Well, how does that help me? Well, As we said in our last series, there are certain things in this Bible that you're not going to be able to find specific direction. For example, it's not going to tell you whether you should go to UVA or CVCC. It's not going to do that. So there are certain specific answers that you need that you're not going to find in here. It's not going to tell you whether you should pursue medicine or engineering. It's not going to do that. But what it does do, what it doesn't do in specifics, it more than makes up for in principle. And so when I understand the general will of God as revealed in His Word, it's God's will that you live for Him. It's God's will that you sanctify and set yourself apart uniquely for Him and His cause. It is God's will that you live a life of holiness and purity in His presence. It's God's will that you allow His Spirit to work in you, that you can live successfully for Him and be an effective witness and salt. And that's God's will. That's His general will for your life. It's His will that you live in health and prosperity. That's His will for you. And when you understand the general will of God, it becomes much easier to discern and understand the specific will for my life and my situation. And so God will speak to you through His Word. I would say this, if you think that God is leading you in a direction that is contrary to this Word, you're confused, my friend. He will never tell you to do something specifically that He hasn't already covered generally in His Word. So how can I know what's next for me? Find out His general will for you by His Word, that you might understand better His specific will for you. And He'll show you. Remember, He's not in the business of hiding Himself from you. And so we know that God speaks to us through others, and we understand that He speaks to us through His presence, and He speaks to us through His Word. But verse 32 of this passage is one that I really like. This one is awesome. All of them are good, but I really like this one. It said this, and they ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road? Our hearts burned within us. I would tell you, if your mind is towards the things of God, if you're really seeking His will for your life, the Bible says if you would trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, He will direct your path. And the Bible says that He will give you the desires of your heart. If your heart is turned towards Him, if your heart is to truly follow after His plan and His purpose for your life, that God has done an amazing thing for you. He has placed certain passions, certain desires within your heart. There's something that He's placed in you that just sets you on fire. Man, when I think about what's next for me, I get all excited. Because there's certain passions, there's certain things that God has placed in me. And because my heart is pure towards Him, I have to know that God's not going to allow some passion that will lead me astray. But instead, He has guided my life in such a way that even the passions and desires that He's allowed to take place within me, those things are meant to bring direction to my life. What are there things that are deep within your heart that just burn? So if you want to know, one of the ways you can know what's next for me, ask yourself this question: what is it that ignites my heart? Maybe it's forgotten orphans in Cambodia. Maybe it's unreached nations. I remember our missionaries a few weeks ago, they said something that has not left me. They said, there are approximately 4,000 unreached people groups. That means they don't have an effective witness of Christ in their own culture that they can understand and act upon. And so maybe it's the unreached nations and people groups of the world that incites a burning passion in you. Maybe it's the inner city right here in Lynchburg. Maybe it's the homeless. Maybe it's singing. Maybe it's teaching. Maybe it's art. Maybe it's theater. Maybe it's health care for the hurting. Maybe it's helping the elderly. Maybe it's your unsaved co-workers. I don't know. What is the passion that God has placed within your heart? What is it that just gets you all fired up? And how can that passion be used for His glory? Maybe that's one of the ways that God is bringing direction to your life, because you trust in Him and you don't want to be led astray even by your own emotions. If you truly have that kind of heart that would seek after Him, you have to trust Him enough to know that He's placed a burning passion within you. What is it that sets your heart on fire? And how can that thing, that passion, that desire be used for the glory of God? For me, I don't know your situation as much as I know mine, so I'll use myself as an example. For me, the thing that just gets me going, the thing that just lights my fire, is ministry and the gospel of Christ. Here's a piece of advice I received when I was a very young man in training and in preparation. Probably my first year of college. Because even though I knew a general direction God had for me, I was asking that question, what next? I wasn't sure if I was supposed to be a pastor or a missionary or even just a teacher in a school or I really didn't know. I was just asking the question, what next? And we had a speaker share with us in chapel one day, and he said something that just pierced my heart, and it has served to guide me throughout my life. Whenever I find myself in a place of uncertainty, and by the way, even if you think you know, and even if you've got your life all planned out and mapped out, life will throw you a curveball from time to time. And no matter how mature you are, and no matter how settled you are, and no matter how certain you are, life will throw you a curveball. And there'll be some times in your life, if it hasn't happened to you yet, it will, I guarantee. So there'll be some times in your life when you're just stumbling because you just got hit with something out of the blue, and it seems that what you thought was all in place is now up for grabs. And so you ask yourself, okay, what now? What now? What next, God? What next? And this piece of advice has come back to me over and over and over again. And that minister said from the pulpit, he said, "Preacher boys," and he was talking to me. He said, "Preacher boys, if there's anything in the world that you can do other than ministry and still be at peace, then do it, because you're not called. But if there's nothing else in all of the world that you can do and still be at peace and still know that you're right with God, if the only thing you can do is preach this gospel, then do it with all of your heart. Do it with complete abandon and never stop." And so I would say to you, what is that passion that God... Now, I'm not talking about ungodly passions. Don't get me wrong. Your passion needs to line up with God's word. But what is that God-given passion that is placed in your heart? And it may seem... out there, it might, how in the world could God ever get glory from this? You just stand back and watch it. You give that passion to Him. You give that burden. You give that burning zeal, that thing that just sets you on fire. You give it to God and say, "God, here it is. You've allowed it to take place and to spring forth in my life. God, use this passion for Your glory," and you watch it. He'll use it. And so I would say to you, what is that thing within you? You can't imagine yourself doing anything else in life. Maybe God is trying to answer the question of what next by helping you to recognize He can take that passion in your life and set it ablaze even more so that it can be used for His glory. Amen. God speaks to us through other people. Don't ever neglect letting people who love you speak into your life. Don't resent when God uses other people to bring clarity to your life. God speaks to us through His presence. Sometimes that's the one that seems so obvious that it's so easily neglected. Don't neglect His presence. And God will speak to us through His word. If what you think God is saying to you is contrary to what He's already said, you might want to take a step back and re-examine some things. But what He has said in general in His word will give direction for His specifics for your life. And then finally, perhaps God has placed within you a burning passion, a desire, something that just sets you on fire. Ask God, God, how can you take this thing? Maybe it's auto mechanics. You know, God can use auto mechanics for His glory. Hello. Maybe you've got a singing voice and you think your only pathway towards success is to sing songs that somehow don't bring honor to God. No, no, I would tell you that God can use that singing voice to bring honor and glory to His own name. Maybe it's something obscure, I don't know. Whatever that passion is in you, I understand this. When you give it to Him, He can take that obscure passion and can use it for His own sake and to bring about His own glorious name. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want to end by offering up this quote. One of my favorite authors. His name is Max Lucado. Max Lucado said this: to meet the Savior is to be set aflame. To discover the flame is to discover His will. And to discover His will is to access a world like none you've ever seen. I want to challenge you when asking the question, what next? Meet the Savior. Let Him set your heart ablaze. And let that fire reveal to you the will of God for your life, and you will open up a world like you cannot imagine. Graduates, let me challenge you personally. That message has been geared for everyone in general, but specifically, I want to challenge you graduates. You may know what's next, but you might not know what's after that. Let me just encourage you. Let people that you love and people that love you and people that you trust, let them speak into your life. Trust people who love you to speak into your life. Don't rely on wisdom and guidance from people who are twice as confused as you are. Make sure to spend time in His presence. Oh, but I'm not real sophisticated at praying. That's not at all what we're talking about. Just relax and invite Him into your life and say, Lord, I don't know all the right prayers to pray. I don't know if I should listen to music. I don't know how to do this, Lord, but I want You to walk beside me in my confusion. Invite Him into your life and let His presence give guidance to you. Understand that His Word will give direction for your life. There's certain, you won't find all of the detailed answers, but you'll find enough general direction in His Word that His Word won't let you go into things that are contrary to His plan for your life. And then understand that sometimes He just puts a spark within you, and He's using that spark to bring direction and purpose to your life. And when you surrender it to Him, He'll get all kinds of glory from it. That's why it's important from the outset that we understood God has a plan. God has a plan. God has a plan. And the only way we'll all find joy is in living out His plan for our life. Amen? Amen. I want to pray for our graduates specifically. This is the moment when we embarrass all of you guys. Is that okay? I want to pray for our graduates specifically. If you guys wouldn't mind, just come and stand right here. I want to just pray for you and pray with you and ask God to speak to your heart. I don't know if you're asking that question, what next? I don't know if you're asking that or not. But if you're not now, you soon will. And so I just want to encourage you. I want to bless you today. I want to remind you that God has put people in your life that love you. And so embrace that and let people who love you, people with wisdom, people who have your best interest in mind, let those folks speak into your life. It may not end up exactly like they said, but understand sometimes God will use people to speak truth and bring direction and clear up the confusion. Certainly, there's always God's presence. The Bible says He's closer than a brother. He's as close as His name. Don't neglect His presence. He can do some amazing things if you'll just relax and let Him walk with you in your confusion. And then there's His Word. I'm not talking about some kind of ritualistic works salvation. That's not all it is. That's not it at all. But God's Word can tell us some general things about His plan for our lives that can point us in the right direction to answering that question, what next? And then He's placed within you guys a passion. Something that just sets your heart on fire. I know what one of yours is. I think I know you're doing that. Public health, right? What next? What next? Okay? I don't know, fellas. But God's put something within you, and you look at that and you just say, well, that's just so random. How could that ever provide any kind of guidance for me? How could that ever be anything in my life that might lead me to answer the question, what next? Listen, it might just be that God-given desire and that God-given passion, that if you'll just surrender it to Him, He can get all kinds of glory from it. Amen? I'm going to ask you guys to stand and pray. Let's pray together for these graduates. If I have some elders that are close by, I wouldn't mind if you guys want to come and help me pray. If I could have some of our elders to come and help me pray, that would be awesome. Brother Fred, you're occupied. You help me pray right there. Thank you. Thank you. Brother Ben, come on up here and help me pray. Thank you. And if you'd like to just come and pray, any of you really, you're welcome to do that. Is that okay, God? I didn't even ask for your permission. I'll ask for forgiveness later. Certainly not trying to embarrass anyone. We just want you to know that we love you and that we only want what's best for your life. And we know that God has figured all of that out, even if we haven't. So we're going to let Him answer the question, what next, okay? I'd like to invite you to pray with us as we pray for these graduates, okay? Let's pray together. Father, we thank You. Lord, we thank You for the fact that You have a will. You have a plan. From the moment each one of these young men were conceived, You had a plan for their life. I thank You, God, that our lives are not chaotic, that they're not uncertain. Lord, though we may not know all of the steps, Lord, You've already got it laid out for us. And I pray, God, right now that as these are asking those questions, Lord, what next? That You would be very real and be very near to them. Lord, send them people who are going to bring guidance and pure and true direction for their life. Lord, be near to them with Your very own presence to speak to them in their confusion and bring guidance to their life. Lord, open up Your Word to them, that they can know what Your will is for their life. And then, Lord, take that God-given passion, set it on fire for You. Lord, we commit these men, and even the two that couldn't be with us today, Lord, we commit them to You. And we ask, Lord, that Your will be done. That Your will be done. Lord, we proclaim Your purpose over their life. We rebuke every effort of the enemy to bring confusion and uncertainty. Lord, have Your way in their life. That truth that's been spoken in their lives, Lord, don't let them escape it, but continually bring that truth before them and cause them to be men of God who walk after You every day and find Your will fulfilled in their life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody declared together, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Hey, look, how many of you are going to commit with me? Every time God brings these young men and the two that aren't with us today, Abigail and Dylan, every time God brings them to your mind, you're going to lift them up in prayer. Some of you remember what it's like these days of uncertainty, but God's got it all figured out, guys. He's got it all figured out. It's all going to make sense. Amen. Thank you, guys. Bless you. Thanks. God bless you. Love you, buddy. Bless you, guys. Amen. We're going to keep praying for these guys. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, look. It was great to have you in His house today. I pray that something we've said, something we've done, maybe part of the worship service, somehow, some way, God was able to touch you and minister to you today. Let me pray a prayer of blessing over you, and then we're going to be dismissed to go next door, all right? Lord, I bless these, your people, today. May those who are today in lack, may they find your provision in abundance. Lord, for those who are uncertain, may they find clarity of thought and direction for their life. Lord, for those who have physical struggles, Lord, may they know you to be the healing Jesus. Lord, for every situation that calls for your direct intervention, Lord, we pray that you would be a very present help in that need. Lord, we pray that you would bless these now when they rise in the morning until they lay down at night. Open their mouth to say words of grace and help and encouragement to those who are hurting. Send people into their life to bless them when they themselves are hurting. Lord, I pray that you will cause this body of Christ to rise in anointing and to rise in calling and to rise in purpose to see your kingdom come, your will be done right here in this community and in this church. Lord, we bless these, your people. And Lord, we thank you for the chance that we have now to celebrate with these graduates. We thank you for these that have set aside their time to prepare food for us. Lord, may they be blessed. And may we receive that food with thanksgiving. And may we be strengthened by that food and by this fellowship that we can be exactly what you planned for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Remember, don't leave. We're going to have dinner together. God bless you. Thanks for being here today. Amen.